It's one thing to be fearful of things, but what I mean, it doesn't seem to me that today that Christians are fearful. They may be fearful of vaccines or whatever, and I respect anyone's decision on that. It doesn't matter. I'm not preaching about the COVID vaccine. Amen? But here's what I am saying. Why is it that so many believers allow themselves to be vaccinated by the thinking of the world instead of the thinking of Jesus Christ? For it says in the Bible that we are to let his mind, Jesus' mind, be in us. Amen? That we're to think like one man, act like one man, react like one man, and then being conformed by the Holy Spirit into one image, and that is the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Why do so many Christians 2,000 years ago and today, why do they fall victim, if you will, and pray or fall victim to the false teaching? Well, this is why that's why I've entitled this message, The Only Vaccine Against Heresy, or just The Only Vaccine. And here's where I got that. I stole this, actually, from Wink. He made a comment about the book of Colossians as a great expositor of God's word. Let me tell you what he said about the epistle of Paul to the church at Colossae. Here it comes. He said, this epistle, Colossians, is a vaccination against heresy. It's not an antibiotic for those already afflicted. Vaccine, the word defined, let me give it to you. It produces immunity. Say immunity with me. Immunity. It produces immunity to specific diseases. This morning, that disease that we're talking about is the lies of the Gnostics. It's the teaching of the false teachers. Amen? Man, listen, false teaching is so dangerous. And these false teachers, they have invaded the church. Remember, the Gnostics. And they are the supremacy of Christ. Is under attack. Now, they gave him a place, but not the supreme place. They gave him prominence, but not preeminence. They didn't deny Jesus, but they did dethrone Jesus. What they did was this. They denied his deity, the Gnostics. Remember the word gnosis means knowledge, a false knowledge that they had, or a wisdom. They denied his deity. They denied Jesus' humanity, that he came in the flesh, that he was a man. And they denied the sufficiency of Christ concerning our salvation. In other words, paying for all of our sins. You had to have Jesus, yes, but it was Jesus plus something else, and it was their secret knowledge that they got from mysticism and demonic spirits and so forth. And once you were initiated into their little group, now you're really saved. You're now moving into a new life, if you will. And their goal, Paul tells us what the goal of the false teachers is then and today. And that is verse 8. They want to, look at it, what does it say? Beware anyone, lest anyone cheat you. And it tells you how through all these things. In other words, that word cheat you means to take you prisoner, to plunder you, to take you captive. It means to kidnap you away from Jesus Christ. We need to beware today just as much as they did at that time. Paul starts out now. And he says here, and I want you to just look at me. Go back to verse 28 of chapter 1. Paul starts out, he says, him we, that's a plural. He says, him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, and the reason that we may present every man perfect or mature or complete, if you will, in Christ Jesus. Now watch what Paul does. He's going to go now from the plural we to the singular I. Watch what he does. To this end, I also labor, striving or literally agonizing, he says, according to his working, meaning Jesus who is working in him and who does so mightily. So verses 1-5, Paul is going to just open up his heart, which is agonizing for the church at Colossae and Laodicea. And he's going to tell us his concerns this morning. The only vaccine against heresy, beginning in chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writing from prison, and he says, listen, I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you. And I have for those in Laodicea. And not only that, the whole church, watch this, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. The word conflict, Paul says great conflict. We get our word agony. Paul the apostle, there in prison, they had not seen his face. He had never visited the church at Colossae, and he is agonizing. He is struggling over this church and the church there at Laodicea. Do you ever struggle over the church? What an example Paul just gave us. Agonize over the church. When you say, oh God, the church is dead, or the church is cold, or the church, there's no servants, there's not. Do you understand? Paul in prison, man, he was agonizing over them, probably agonizing in prayer. And the reason for his agony was that the virus of the Gnostics had now spread. It was a super spreader. It had spread all the way to Laodicea, and not just one in the church, the entire church at Laodicea, they had been now infected, if you will, by the Gnostics' teaching. You know, the church at Laodicea, the truth is, they were not a threat to the Gnostics, not at all. It was the Gnostics could just walk right in, and boy, they just ate it all up, because not only was Jesus excluded from this church, but more than that, this infection was rampant. Do you know when Paul, writing Colossians 30 years later, remember the letter that Jesus sent unto the church at Laodicea in the book of Revelation? Let me tell you what was wrong with them. Jesus told them in Revelation 3:16, he says to the church at Laodicea, he says, okay, because you are lukewarm, you're neither hot, you're neither cold. Listen to what Jesus says. I will vomit you out of my mouth. How would you like to get a letter from the Lord like that? I'm going to vomit. You're no longer part of my body, my spiritual body. You're no, out of my mouth. You're no longer my mouthpiece, because you have excluded me from the church. See, they were lukewarm. They weren't on fire for the Lord. It was okay. They didn't even realize that they had been infected by the Gnostics, just like today, how many churches get infected with false teaching. Many believers, they don't even know it. The church at Laodicea, they did not even know their true spiritual condition. And there are those believers today in the same boat. But Jesus knows everyone's true spiritual condition. Amen? Listen to what he told the church at Colossae. He says, you know what? In Revelation 3:17, because you say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, I have need of nothing. They didn't even need Jesus, the Lord. And do not know, here comes their condition, that you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. Boy, in a way, loved one, listen to me. I love the body of Christ, and I know you love the body of Christ, but that's almost a picture of the 21st century church in America. In other words, it's all about the people of Colossae. They believed that money solved all of their problems. And you know what? When you listen to a lot that's on the air, Christian TV today, even on some radio, it's not like that's all they talk about. Do you understand? Well, Jesus is all we need to talk about. Amen? You know, God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the silver, all the gold are mine, saith the Lord. Amen? We don't need to worry about those things. But the reason that they were infected, Laodicea, the same reason that there are many churches being infected today, it's unbelievable. And that was this. Laodicea, remember, means rule of the people. See, in other words, it was people, that church was people ruled. It wasn't God ruled. It was flesh led. It wasn't spirit led. Man's wisdom, which was Gnosticism, was exalted, not the wisdom of God. If you study out the book of Revelation, there are only two churches now left on earth. You're either in one or the other. One is Philadelphia, and that is the church we are in Jesus' name. Amen? That's right. We're going to be kept from the hour of trial that's coming upon this whole earth, the rapture, okay? And the other is Laodicea, the lukewarm church. And right now, those churches, those two, spiritually speaking, they're closing out the era here now. They're closing out the history. One day it's all going to be over. Laodicea represents the apostate church, and there are many apostate churches today. And so the Gnostics, what did they do? They carried, if you will, a virus a false teaching virus, a bunch of lies that would infect people, and listen to the symptoms. I want you to look at verse 8. It says, beware, and look at five lies in verses 4 through 7. Number one, enticing words. In verses 8 through 13, philosophy. In verses 14 through 17, legalism. Verses 18 through 19, mysticism. And then in verse 20 through 23, asceticism. And so there they are. That's next Sunday. We're going to be talking about, the Lord willing, all of those. So in verses 2 through 7, Paul is going to do something. He gave us safeguards, if you will, on how to stand against the virus of all these lies and all these false teaching. There's only one vaccine against the heresy or false teaching. And loved one, listen, I thank you in Jesus' name that the church, if you're born again, did you know that we really do? We may not understand it yet, but we have immunity from all that. Amen? So let's look at that beginning. It's Paul's concerns beginning in verse 2. The first way, he says, is that their hearts may be encouraged. You know, every heart needs to be encouraged, amen? That word there, parakaleto, I believe it is in the Greek. I may be wrong on that. It means to be strengthened. It needs to be encouraged or comforted. The word really means our hearts need to be braced. Boy, I'll tell you, a heart full of strength of the Lord, amen? That if you want to stand against the lies of the devil, your heart has to be right. Man, if you want to be immune or have immunity from false teaching, then you have to have your heart right. Boy, the heart is so easily divided, isn't it? Now, when it says the heart there, it's talking about the deepest part of our being. It's talking about our emotional makeup, our mental makeup, so our mind, our will, our emotions, and so forth. We have to have our heart right. We have to protect our heart, loved one. Everything in life begins right here. Amen? Jesus said what? From the abundance of the mouth? No, from the abundance of the the heart, what speaks? The mouth speaks. It says, if you will believe, confess Jesus as your Lord and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Amen? See, everything begins right here. And this is that inner man, what you think and what you really believe is right here. It's the seat of all your intelligence, spiritual intelligence, if you will. And we have to be very careful. Jesus said, for out of the heart proceed adulteries and murders and thefts and lies and black. You remember, it comes out here. It doesn't come out of that. It comes out of a person's being. So our heart has to be right to protect ourselves, to be immune from the lies of the enemy and false teachers in this world today. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 20, it says this. It says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your, not mind, in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life to those who find them. They are health to all their flesh. Listen to what he says now. Solomon says, keep. That word means to guard. It means to protect. Keep your heart. And it tells us how to do it with all diligence. That means above everything else in your life, protect your heart. Why? For out of it, out of your heart, spring all or flow all the issues of life. Listen, it's the heart that we have to be concerned with. And boy, we have to protect our heart. So that's why Paul starts with that. The most important thing in our life is to have our hearts protected. And the only way we can do that is to protect it with the Word of God. Amen? Did you know that God has already written in your heart His Word? It's already there. Oh man, listen, we have to be so careful to guard our heart against and from false teaching. Look at the next one. Being knit together in love. Whenever our hearts are knit together in love, you know what happens? It provides such a great weapon. Love never fails, loved one. It provides that immunity against false teaching. When we're standing as one man, amen, one mind, one spirit, and we're standing, that provides an immunity against that. Being knit together in love. Literally, you could read it this way. Being welded together in love. You know, love, that supernatural love of God, the agape, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love. Matter of fact, Paul says, not only are you knit together in love, if you looked over to chapter 3, verse 14 of Colossians, listen to what he says to do. He says, above all these things, above everything else, he says, put on love. That's a command, an imperative. In other words, keep putting on love. And he says, which is the belt or the bond, the thing that holds us together. He says, which is the bond of perfection. What perfection is Paul talking about there? Becoming like Jesus, Christ-likeness, knit together, not apart. Boy, love is always the answer. What did Jesus tell us? You know, he taught us that love is not a noun. He taught us that love is a verb. Remember in John 13, 34? He told us, he said, listen, he says, you know how you get a fog once in a while? You know that mental fog? I've said that scripture a million times. Somebody start me out. He's in the upper room. He's going to talk about love. Just say it. Huh? Ah, thank you. Now, don't you hate that? Man, I hate that. It's a COVID fog. No, I hate it in Jesus' name. But the Lord is restoring my mind. That's right. Not my looks. A new commandment I give unto you, a brand new one, that you love one another. That wasn't a new commandment, okay? They knew to love one another, Leviticus 19:18. He said, now here's the new part, that you're to love one another the way I love you, to the same degree I love you. He says, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples. Loved one, listen to me. Love is a verb. And the only way that we can be knit together is when it is demonstrated in the body of Christ. Amen? And there's so many today in the body, and they have broken that weld because they can't. Listen, if you are cooking on a grill and you have a bunch of coals and they're all burning and you move a coal off to the side, what happens? It goes out. See, you can't experience this kind of love in isolation. It's impossible. You can't do it. You have to be in fellowship. You have to be in the body, and you have to be connected one to another to experience that kind of love. Now, he says, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge, that's that deep, clear, full knowledge of God, of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. What is the mystery of God? We just learned it last Sunday. Christ in you, the hope of glory, amen? You know, all those words that I just said and Paul just said, words like full, understanding, knowledge, mystery, those were favorite words of the Gnostics, remember? So if you want immunity, all the wealth belongs to you. That wealth of the full assurance of understanding of that incredible mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now listen, assurance, it says full, but assurance means this. It means a true, settled conviction in your heart. You know what you know. You believe what you know. You know that God cannot lie. You know that His word is truth. But this settled conviction, loved one, is about who you are in Christ Jesus. Your incredible position. To know who you are, oh, loved one, listen, that right there, if you don't know who you are in Christ, do you know what? You could be led astray by all the things I just talked about a moment ago. You can move into self-righteousness. You can move into trying to earn God's love, earn your salvation. Do you understand? Legalism, all of those things. You can be led away by false teaching to anything if you don't truly know your position in Christ Jesus. That's why Paul is agonizing. He says, you must know who you are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So to be immune against false teaching, you must have a true conviction of who Jesus really is. Remember this mystery? The Bible tells us in Romans that had been hidden from the world since the world began, this incredible mystery, which is Christ in you. Boy, Christ Himself in you. And then it says the hope. Remember the word hope means sure, certain, true, immutable, the true hope of glory, meaning that we are saved and that heaven really is our home. See, when you know who is in you and who he is, nobody can come and water Jesus down to you. Does that make sense? They can't. If you know who you are in Christ and who he is, they can't present to you some anemic, watered down Jesus Christ. They can't do it. See, we know, we've learned, Jesus not only created all things, he not only sustains all things, he's not only before all things, by him all things consist, loved one. Listen, he is the supreme head, not only of the church, but of the entire universe, amen? And when you are in Christ, you are sharing his very life, and you're sharing the life of, in other words, he's the founder, and his life is in you, the founder of Christianity. Oh, and I think, oh, Lord, and not only that, and in him, look at verse 3, and in our Lord, the one who lives in us, the one who died for us, the one who is present with us right this minute, it says, in whom are hidden, they're hidden from the world, not from the Christian, okay, whom are hidden all, what? The treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There are the two words the Gnostics loved, okay? Matter of fact, the word knowledge there is gnosis, which you get the word Gnosticism from. Now, with all of that being said, did you notice that it said all? It didn't say some. It says every, all the treasures, plural, of wisdom and knowledge are contained in Christ. Now, listen carefully. I know that the world has knowledge, but the world really doesn't have much wisdom. Amen? But here's the deal. If you want to seek, if the believer, see, the Gnostics were trying to get them to go away from Christ, to go and start worshiping angels and you know, and mysticism and all the rest of it. In other words, Jesus just wasn't enough. Boy, listen, if you don't believe that in him, our Savior, is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, I'm going to tell you, that's when you get in deep, deep trouble, because if we start searching for that outside of Christ, I'm telling you that we are doomed to failure. Do you understand? Oh, listen, what is wisdom, the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God, wisdom is God's knowledge applied, amen? And that's what we do in our life. Jesus told us, that, you know what, where your treasure is, there's your heart's going to be also. So every believer that is born from above, you not only have the ability, but you have the divine right to open up, to go into all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge which are contained in our Lord. Loved one, we need to, I prayed last night, I said, oh God, open our hearts, open our hearts. Open the church's heart, just like you opened Lydia's heart. Remember when Paul was teaching at the riverbank? How you opened you opened her heart, God, and she received the things spoken by Paul. We need to get, we should be having tambourines going in the air right now. Do you understand? We have everything that we need. We don't need the doctrine of more. I don't need to read any more books. Do you understand? I have the only book that's needed and the only Savior that there is. And he has all the knowledge that I need. He's not only wisdom. He's not only knowledge. Oh, loved one, you know, Christianity is a person. And we live in a foolish world with foolish people doing foolish things. Man's wisdom is not very bright. Man's wisdom didn't even recognize the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when he walked on this earth. They crucified him, didn't they? Oh, listen, the Gnostics, see, they loved wisdom, or philosophy means the love of wisdom. They loved that. That really turned them on. But here's the problem. Man's wisdom always lowers God's wisdom. Does that make sense? That's why Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, and he said this. He says, where are the wise? I mean, you know, the philosopher, the wise people. Where are you at? Where's the scholars, and where's the disputer or the debater of this age? In other words, if we brought it up to today's language, it would be this. Where's all the smart people? Where are they at? I mean, what's going on? Look at our nation. Look at our White House. Just look at everything. Have you ever seen this much confusion ever in your life? No. And they claim, everybody claims it. I'm smart. Well, listen, you know, here we are. You have all the answers, but I'm going to tell you something. This scripture that I just read from Corinthians, it's 2,000 years old. Are we any better off, our nation, any better off today than they were? No, not at all. Matter of fact, hallelujah. God doesn't want you to have that one. No, this one, oh, this is sacred. This is hidden knowledge. Get it hidden, the Gnostic, never mind. Listen, here's the problem. Look, and I don't like to mention, I'm not beating up anybody when I mention these names right now. And I'm not taking sides and I'm not being political. But I mean, people just in our own city, they're killing people every day. I mean, a guy, the other day, this guy shot two people at a party, and the whole party, they got together and stoned the man to death with rocks. Every day something is happening all across our nation. You know, and you say, well, that's gun legislation. Well, you can debate gun legislation all you want. It's the heart of man that's all messed up. You know, listen, we're in trouble. You know, there's the school shooting, there's immigration, the opioid crisis. I mean, there's the Me Too movement. Then there's the LGBTQIA, I don't even know what that means, movement. And then there's racism, how wicked that is. CRT, the critical race theory. Boy, I heard Tony Evans preach the other day. And you know what he preached on? He preached on the critical race theory. And here's what he called it, the kingdom race theory. He called it the KRT. I love that. And man, he's right. We're all one. There's the answer to racism. Amen. There's the answer to prejudice. We are one in Christ Jesus. All of us. Listen, doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what nation you are. Doesn't matter your educational background. None of those things. If you are in Christ, you are my brother. You are my sister. We are the family of God. And there's going to be a lot of different colors up there. Amen. Amen. Man, that's like Tony said, that's all we need. What's wrong with the world? We have the answer, but man doesn't want the answer. Amen. You know why? You know why man cannot solve their problems? Because they will never admit the source of their problem, and that is sin. And that's the problem right there. Jesus Christ is the greatest source of wisdom and knowledge in the entire universe, and all that we have to do to find the treasure that awaits us. Let me read it to you. Proverbs 2:4, if you seek, meaning God's wisdom and knowledge, if you seek as silver, if you search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will find the knowledge of God. But if not, then in Colossae, here in Fort Worth, loved one, you better be prepared to be infected. You see, false teachers speak about another knowledge. They speak about another wisdom. They speak about another a mystery and another Savior. Boy, the Gnostics are still with us even today, loved one. And here, only God's wisdom, only God's word, only applying it to your life, only then will you have immunity. And if not, look what's going to happen in verse 4. Now, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. The word deceive, that in the Greek, is only here and James 1:22 in the Bible, loved one. And the word persuasive is only here and nowhere else. The word deceive literally means to talk you into error. It means to deceive you by false reasoning, okay? Persuasive words means fine-sounding arguments, if you will. We call it smooth talk. And so, did you know that error, false teaching, can it persuade people? Yeah. It sure can. Let me ask you a question. Let me say something. Eve in the garden, was she deceived? The Bible says she was. How important are words? Smooth talk. She was deceived with one sentence from the devil. Just one sentence, and the whole world was going to get sold out. Do you understand? Oh, all humanity. Man, listen, the Bible is very clear. It says in verse 5, look at it now. It says, for though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit. And Paul says, man, I'm excited. I'm rejoicing to see your good order. Very important word. And I'm excited to see your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So the word order, that's a military word, if you will, okay? So it means, literally, it's a picture of all the church, all of us standing shoulder to shoulder, like in an army. Does that make sense? Steadfastness literally means that we're standing firm like in a battle formation. We're the army of God. Amen? And our commander in chief is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when we do those things, and we do it by faith, or literally when it says there, the steadfastness of your faith, that is a firmness in our hearts created by faith. That's when we pick up the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. That's the very first command found in Colossians. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:6, he who says that he abides in Christ should walk even as he walked. Amen? And that's what we need to do. But I want you to notice something. See, Paul, again, he's attacking the Gnostics. Did you see how he said, as you have received the Lord Jesus, or Christ Jesus, the Lord. So he does something, he does this on purpose. Christ is his speaks of deity. Jesus speaks of his humanity. Lord speaks of his supremacy over all things. Amen. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. That takes us back to Colossians 1:18, where Jesus has preeminence over all things. It takes us back to Colossians 3:11, that Christ is all and in all. Does that make sense? So that's why Paul did that. And it was intentional on Paul's part. And I'll tell you why. Because Christ Jesus the Lord is only mentioned in the New Testament twice here. And then in 2 Corinthians 4:5. Remember again, Paul put that in there. Why? Well, the Gnostics denied his humanity. They denied his deity. They denied the sufficiency of Christ for salvation. You needed that secret knowledge to be saved. Listen, we really have immunity. Did you know that? We really do. You know, listen, it says received Christ. I love that. You remember when you received Christ? You know, some I've heard, and I'm going to go back to the COVID thing for a minute. You know, if you take the COVID, your DNA is going to be changed. You know what I mean? Listen, can I tell you what? My DNA has already been changed. Your DNA has already been changed. You are now partakers of the divine nature of God. Amen? You are not only a divine partakers of the nature of God, You've been given all things for godliness and holiness and all that you need in this life. But listen to me. You are a new man now. Everything has changed. You're a new creation. That word new creation from 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, new creation. In other words, someone that never existed before. You're talking about changing your DNA? Oh, man, we're born from above. We were dead. Now we're alive. Does that make sense? Yes. Oh, we should be shouting right this very minute for that. And not only that, look at this protection that we have. It says, rooted and built up in him. Rooted is past tense, okay? So we have already been rooted in him because we're now born from above. So if that is the case, now let's start walking in him. And so forth, not rooted in religion or secret teachings or secret knowledge or any of that, but stay rooted. Stay anchored in what? In Jesus's very life. What did Jesus tell us in John 15:5? He says, I am the vine. I am the source of all life, and ye are the branches. Amen? Boy, you know what? He wants us to bear much fruit, but Jesus said, listen, he said, but you can do nothing without me. So we share his very life. And not only that, we are now present tense, past tense rooted in him, present tense built up in him, like a building. We're the house of the Lord. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone, the sure tried stone. Amen? That's who we're built upon, him. Not only that, the Bible tells us, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:11, there's no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Our foundation is certain because it's built upon the rock, No, not any other religion can get upon our foundation, loved one. Oh, listen, I am so thankful for the Lord. He says not only that, and he has, look at it in 7 again, and established in the faith or by your faith as you have been taught. So he's talking now about Epaphras, remember, who taught them the word of God, abounding or overflowing in it. And look at the lifestyle of the believer with thanksgiving. So here in this verse, it says we're to have a faithful walk. We're to walk in him, be rooted in him, welded to him, and then we're to have a faithful walk. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:6, what does it say? What does it say? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we move from that faithful walk. You want to have immunity? Trust God. Amen. Believe God's word. And then it says not only a faithful walk, but a thankful walk. You see, if we're not thankful in our walk, it's because we don't truly know or we don't truly believe our position in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what? We are immune, loved one, from hell. Do you understand? I have immunity. I'm not going there. And I didn't earn it. It is a gift from God. Amen. Listen, think about that. It can't touch us. You know, what can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Can death? No. Not peril? No. The sword? Hunger? Nothing. Created things? No. Nothing. Man, you talking about immunity, but you have to know the word of God to be immune. Amen? You have to have that in your heart. Remember last Sunday when I went down the list in Colossians about being thankful? Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us. Oh, I'm so glad that we're qualified for heaven, that we're qualified. God qualified us. There's a lot of people that says, I'm unqualified, but God says, no, Bill, you're qualified. And you know why there's so many unhappy Christians? Because there's so many false teachings today. Baby believers or sometimes even older believers, they don't know the word of God and they can be taken in. You know, it's so easy to, you know, because, you know, false teaching appeals to the flesh. It appeals to the pride of life. Did you know that? In other words, if you know, we start teaching, you know what, you don't have to be poor. You're just not believing the promises of God. You don't, you can be rich. You can drive a Harley Davidson. I don't want a Harley, but anyway. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you don't ever have to be sick. All these things that just the last 40 years, man, has just permeated, filled the church. And it makes a believer believe, well, I deserve this. I'll tell you what, we don't deserve anything. Everything that's been given to us. What did Paul tell the church at Corinth? He said, all things are yours. All things are ours. We're co-heirs with Christ. How can we not be a thankful people? I'll tell you why. Because of the modern day teaching of the Gnostics today. They take scripture and it becomes a heresy and so forth. The Bible goes on. It tells us, you know, you should read Colossians 3:15 and following. Colossians 4:2 about being thankful. Now listen, with all that being said, talking about this vaccine, here's the deal. Verse 7 just told us, as you have been taught. It does no good to know what you've been taught if you don't apply what you've been taught. Amen? And so that's why it says in verse 8, it says, beware. And let me just read that to you. The word beware means, this is written to believers, okay, not unbelievers. He says, beware, take heed. You have to be on guard, lest anyone cheat you, kidnap you, take you captive, plunder your heart through philosophy. In other words, the love of wisdom, the world's wisdom, and empty deceit. That's that smooth talk. It's words that sound great, but they're empty. They're wells without water, okay? He says, according to the tradition of men, not God, the tradition of men, and according to the basic principles of the world. Now, that means according to the demonic and not according to Christ Jesus. Now, some of you may be listening live, and some of you here, I say this in love, tenderly. You may say, Bill, there's not really, come on, any modern-day Gnostics today teaching lies and all of that like 2,000 years ago. Let me read an article, January 6, 2020. United Methodist Church to split over whether or not to be a Christian. Did you hear what I just said? Leaders from the United Methodist Church have announced a tentative plan to split the church over differences on whether or not Methodists should be Christian or some sort of group with a vague deist motif that makes up morality based on whatever it feels like. That's Gnosticism. What did the devil say to Eve? Oh, hath God indeed said, in the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall die? Oh, Eve, no. Eat it. And if you do, your eyes are going to be open. You're going to be like God. That's Gnosticism. Are you listening to me? It goes on. You're not going to believe this. He says, there was just no way to reconcile differences, said the Reverend Lloyd Patrick. One of those dismayed by the recent push of traditionalists to follow the Bible instead of each person's own heart. A lot of people still want to follow Jesus, a person, he says, from 2,000 years ago who made no statements about pronouns and thus has no relevance today. Oh, which is just silly, since we all know so much more now. That's Gnosticism. Do you understand? And we even have a better grasp on morality than a bunch of those ancient people. He went on to describe how Christian beliefs put an unnecessary burden on people as they tend, or they can lead to ridicule or even being canceled. I guess they don't have to worry about that in primitive places overseas, he said, but we can't be expected to deal with that in the United States. May I tell you something? God's truth is not determined by how many people believe it. Do you understand that? No, listen, let me tell you something. I know in the early service, everybody here is probably a believer. I don't know about online, but I want you to listen to me. You know what? If Jesus Christ isn't your Lord, you don't have any immunity. None. You're fair game. Fair game for all that he does. Listen, if you've been vaccinated by the devil, if you're not saved. And you know what that means? Here's what it means. You're going to believe his lies. You don't know that you're believing it. You're going to believe his lies. And you know what his vaccine does? It blinds the minds of those who do not believe. It causes a person to love darkness, live in darkness, and they don't even know it. And not only that, they live as a slave, his slave. And yet, he is so persuasive, he makes them feel as though they are free, even though they are dead in trespasses and sins. There's only one immunity. There's only one true vaccine. There is only one. His name is Jesus Christ, and he will give you immunity from all the powers of darkness. Amen. He will take you out of darkness, and you will walk in the light of life. You will live a life like you've never had before, with persecution, yes, and all the rest of it that comes our way. I tell you what, you ought to take the first shot. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around, and every Christian praying. If you haven't asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, you can right now. And I'll tell you something. He loves you. He wants to set you free. He doesn't want you to be a captive. You know, if you're unsure of your salvation, if you don't know that you're saved, loved one, you need to be saved today. You don't have to get out of your chair. You don't have to come to this altar. All you have to do is say, is lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. Oh, just lift it and put it right back down if that's you this morning. Don't, if you feel in a least pounding upon your heart, please don't fight against that. Please. In Jesus' name, my last call. Anyone here this morning, say, Bill, please pray for me. Anyone. Then, Father, I believe that everybody in this early service, and I hope and I pray they're saved, and I believe that they are. But those online right now, you know what? Those are listening on the radio, you can pray. You can pray right now. Say, Jesus, save me. save me, come into my life, be the Lord of my life, and he'll save you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, that we are, if we understand what to do, we can be immune from the false teaching of this world, all the lies of the devil. So, Lord, bless the sheep of your pasture. Bless the rest of this day, O God. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, you know, if we're here, we're going to get the second shot. Amen. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, I'm going to depart over to the main lobby. Jesse's going to close us out with song. They have a free gift over there. They'd love to give it to you. I'd love to meet you as well. If you need prayer this morning, you can come to the altar when Jesse dismisses us. And then remember, please come with a mask on, and those that will be praying need to have a mask on as well. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name.